Hello, and welcome to Assert Software Quality.com audiocast on Agile Requirements Best Practices. Our speaker is Ellen Gottesdiener, Principal Consultant at EBG Consulting. I'm Jan Stafford, Executive Editor at Assert Software Quality.com and the moderator. Thanks for joining us, Ellen.
Great to be here, Jan.
For our listeners, if you have any problems with the sound or quality of this audiocast, please write to us at editor@searchsoftwarequality.com, and our tech support team will get in touch with you within 24 hours. Now let's get started with our interview. Ellen, why should items in the backlog be ready? And do these items need to have complete requirements? Do you create the requirement details before you actually select them to be included in an iteration?
Right, yeah. Well, so Jan, what you want to do with the backlog items is those that are going to be pulled into an iteration, used for planning and delivering an iteration, those are the ones that need to be ready. So our customer or product owner, if we're using Scrum, prioritizes the backlog and decides with team input what to build for each iteration. Now, I say team input because the team is going to estimate the work for those backlog items. The customer makes the priority decision, and there might be some negotiation so that some of those items might be delivered with less functionality or less, for example, user interface. So what we want to do, the bottom line for the backlog, is we don't want to waste time working on items that we're not actually going to build in the next iteration. Because if we did, as we often do in traditional requirements, doing a lot of big upfront requirements work, and we come back to it, return to it months and months later, we have to relearn the requirements all over again, and we've put precious resource on items that might have changed or their priority might have changed. As I mentioned in the webinar, there's a large amount of specified requirements that never get or rarely get used. So we want to push things in the backlog, items in the backlog that are going to be pulled into the next iteration up to the top. Those are the ones that need to be ready. Those are the ones that we're going to have small, tight, concise requirements for. And those items are usually, but not always, but they're usually user stories. They can also be technical stories. And they should be about the same size. And they're things that can be completed within a single iteration and have very, very clear completion criteria or doneness.
So, Ellen, should user stories be placeholders for representing user requirements on Agile projects? And should it be populated in the product backlog? And how much detail should user stories have?
Mm-hmm. Most Agile teams do use user stories to represent user requirements. Some teams do use use cases because that's part of their culture. But use cases should be very briefly defined and are really much more useful to get the big view or the preview that I mentioned in the webinar. So now our user stories are going to have enough detail in them, if there are stories being pulled into an iteration, have enough detail so that the team, developers can code them, testers can test them. We should know what the user acceptance tests are. And we have to know enough about them so the customer can confirm that the story was built according to their expectations, according to their own doneness criteria. Now, we may supplement the user story text itself, which has that format once again of, as a use such and such user, I want to do some functionality so that business benefit. That's basically a good template to use. But we may want to supplement that with, say, low-fidelity screen sketches or wireframes at a very, very high level, not too granular, or having information about the data. So the data model, for example, on one project, we made the data model, we refactored it throughout each iteration, just added data and relationships that were worked through when the stories were built. So it's really important to remember that a single story is not going to incorporate an entire set of what we call CRUD activities. CRUD stands for create, read, update, and delete. It usually does not do all of that. That's typically what a complete use case at a very high level would do. So So it's got to be something much smaller.
What are some ways teams tamp down requirements so they are truly agile?
Right. Well, doneness is really, really key to that. And when I work with teams, I find that one of the first things that elevates their ability to get flow is to have very clear doneness criterion on the work, the items, or user stories. So what that might include is input and output data, test cases, adding supplemental analysis models only as needed, perhaps some prototype sketches. Having that information and pre or post conditions really forces both customer and the team, the delivery team, to be very clear on a small, concise set of requirements. It also enables you to build perhaps some functionality that, you know, is higher risk or that provides some backbone for further requirements, and not have to build the whole thing in one big blob, but in small incremental pieces as well. So tamping down those requirements into small, concise bits with doneness criteria is really key.
You discussed the Yagni idea of requirements. Many organizations are used to a lot of documentation, let alone requirements documentation. What are some ways documentation is used to get these things created and enlightened?
Yeah, that's a real challenge for a lot of organizations that are used to having a lot of heavyweight documentation, particularly around requirements. So a couple things that we've done on teams that I've worked with that is effective is we may actually have a story on creating documentation, say user manual documentation or help documentation. And it'll be just a small story that we'll do in one iteration to learn how we can make it as concise as possible. So you might have user stories for creating documentation. Another technique that I particularly like to do is have documentation become part of the doneness or completion criteria for a user story. So say I'm building a story to allow a user to have access to the webcast on TechTarget. And maybe there's some help that's provided with that the functionality. What we would do is that story would have as part of its doneness criterion that the user would be able to see, you know, one or two lines of help when they mouse over some part of the screen or something like that. So it's not the complete set of documentation, and it's just associated with that small story, but we're building it as we build the requirements. And that's really important when documentation, in particular, when documentation has regulatory implications, when the software is has regulatory oversight, so traceability and validation of the requirements is important. So I guess, and back to that Yagni idea you mentioned, Jan, Yagni, which stands for you ain't gonna need it, the idea is that documentation really should provide value to one or more consumers of that documentation, maintainers, developers, testers, help desk staff, marketing, training, whoever. And each project really is unique in its documentation needs, so we have to tailor that documentation to the product and the domain. And one thing that we've done early on some projects is run an analysis spike kind of a story to experiment on how to best handle documentation for a specific project. So let's try to think about it being as lean as possible. Also, if you go to the references that I had at the end of the webcast on that Capital Tech, CapitalTarget.pdf page off of our website, there's an article with more ideas on how to lighten your documentation that's called Yagni, Your Requirements Documentation. So you might want to check that out as well.
What about getting the big picture? Usually teams do a lot of analysis up front to the whole picture of the product, but that doesn't sound agile. Could you comment on this?
Sure. When we're building large, complex product, it's necessary to have a big view of the product architecture. I mean, we have to align resources for what that product is going to be. We have to plan for releases, creating this roadmap, which includes the product architecture and marketing consideration, helps the organization rally itself for delivery. It also can be a competitive tool. So it really prepares the organization to start building the iterations within releases. So Agile teams do need to get an understanding of the scope and very high level, the big view, wide and narrow. So there really is some value to doing some upfront analysis. Now, that's not a lot of analysis. In my experience, an efficient way to do this is using facilitated workshops, where we deliver a product roadmap, which includes a vision, scope level, requirements model, perhaps context diagram, list of domains, and a roadmap that shows features or minimally markable features or events over time. And these tools are used in sync with the technical and marketing roadmap, and that gives you your overall product roadmap. So analysis really has to be continual on an Agile project, not just a one-shot deal. And once we have the big view, at any point in time, you analyze small chunks of about equal size requirements for delivering those in those iterations or time boxes. On large products, you need some upfront analysis to understand that scope, to build that roadmap, to make smart choices about what requirements to deliver early on. And on some large projects or products, this analysis is sometimes done in an initial setup iteration that's called an iteration zero. Or some teams start to build some of the product and then pause and do that big view preview work before they proceed with more delivery.
Thank you, Alan. That ends our presentation, so I appreciate you being here.
Thanks. Thanks for having me here.
For our listeners, you can submit your questions regarding this audio cast to Ellen via email at editor@searchsoftwarequality.com. That concludes today's audio cast on Agile Requirements Best Practices. This is Jan Stafford signing off. Have a great day.